Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going to read these first 6 verses. So if you'll read with me out loud. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and with the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him, said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together up to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. In just quick review, we have in chapter 3, the people being organized for the task of rebuilding the wall. And there were 42 different teams organized for rebuilding the wall. Though God had chosen Nehemiah as the leader, his man in charge, and the burden of this task grew in him and grew in him and grew in him until the point that he just couldn't do anything else. And it showed out in his life. And God was with him and blessed him and allowed him to go and accomplish this work. As the workers were organized and encouraged and built up and lifted up, they began to do the work. Each team was assigned the task of rebuilding the wall nearest to their own homes. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. As we've got to first work on ourselves, our families, and then in the local church, so that we can get out to the community and accomplish that which we should accomplish for the cause of Christ. Too often, many people think that they can do a great work for God somewhere else and neglect the need right in front of their very noses. You know, you may have heard this before. I was told of this in Bible college and many times since then. There are people that say, well, God has called me to be a pastor and to pastor local church. And so I'm going to do that with all of my might and God will take care of my family. That's foolish, folks. That's foolish. And listen, I'm for doing the work of God and I'm for being a soul winner and I'm for accomplishing that. But don't neglect what's right in front of you. You know, they warned us when I went to Bible college. They said the best place for a Christian to backslide is Bible college. Come on now. Why did they say that? Because you get so busy about all the assignments due and the academics done, and you neglect personal Bible study. You neglect personal walk with God. You neglect here. And so it all becomes outward. It all becomes done in the flesh. And your spiritual self just kind of just deflates. And slides back. You know, the same thing can happen in the local church. You know, there are people that, listen, they're busy about the work of the church and they're busy about this and busy about that, but they neglect that personal relationship with Christ. Folks, those things shouldn't be in our cases. So we need to make sure that we're building up the walls that need to be built up in our own lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of the local church, so that we can reach the community as we ought to reach them. We need to make sure we develop a plan, that we follow the guiding and leadership of the Word of God. You know, this book is full of principles to build by. It's just full of them. You hear it in maybe Sunday school. You hear it in the services and in the messages. Maybe in your own Bible study, in your own Bible reading. You see those principles emphasized over and over again. And certainly, if you're born again, if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is whispering them to you all along the way. Bringing those things into remembrance. Guiding us into all truth. You understand that God wants us to succeed. God wanted Nehemiah to succeed. God wanted those 42 groups of people to succeed. So that Jerusalem was no longer a reproach in that area of the world. It was the place that God called His place to dwell. Guess where He dwells now? Right here. Can I remind you that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit? That we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. So these are the things that are being presented to us all throughout here and kind of culminating here as we get into chapter 4. We start out with a change of thought. But, so all this work is going on, right? These people are organized. They've got a burden. They've strengthened their hands. They've got a mind to work. They're starting close to their homes. They're working with their families. Things are coming along. Revival is taking place. Work is being accomplished. God's work is being done. And then there's like, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You know, it's funny. When the people of God begin to do a work for God and take a stand for God and begin to shore up some of the things in their lives that they need to, what seems to always start to take place? The ridicule, the scorning, and the mockery of those who are without God. And actually, sometimes it's those that maybe do have salvation, but they're so far backslidden, it doesn't seem like they even are saved. They start mocking. You know why? It's interesting. Some of the worst soul-winning experiences that I've ever had were with so-called Christians. Where you knock on their door, you say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Combs. I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church, and this is so-and-so, and why are you here? Why are you knocking on my door?" "Well, we're just inviting people out to church. Do you have a church?" You go, "Yeah, I go to church." "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your pastor." "For the people that have to sit next to you in the pew. I've been totally berated by people that are so-called Christians. I mean, goodness." But when the people of God begin to do a work for God, listen, it's not going to be just all, you know, flowers and love and little puppy dogs. You know, it's not going to be like, it's going to be opposition, ridicule, mockery. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've been cussed out at a door and the door slammed in my face. Some of you have been out street preaching. I know Sebastian has. And Chris, y'all been out there. And sometimes people can get pretty fiery when you're out there just trying to preach the gospel. And they start calling you all kinds of names and words that you didn't even know were in the English language. Yeah. And sometimes they cuss at you in different languages. You understand, though, that the work needs to go on. The work needs to continue on. And it doesn't matter how fierce it gets. It doesn't matter how horrible it gets and how much you say, "Well, I just can't take this." We've got to continue on with the work. Knowing this. That when those times come, we must be doing something right. We must be. Because the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. And it's not a bad thing. You say, but I don't like that. Well, I'm sure that these that were here in Jerusalem, that they didn't like it. I'm sure it hurt their feelings. And it wasn't pleasant to hear. And maybe some of the mothers were covering the ears of their little ones. I'm sure that some of that was taking place. But you've got to understand that he was very wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked them. Now, in verse 2 it says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said. So now he's dragging all his cronies into all this. All those that are with him in this effort to mock these Jews. Now think about this. Sanballat was not able to attack them. But he could try to discourage them in every way that he possibly could. And he did. And he got all of his brethren, and he got the army of Samaria involved, and they continued to mock and saying, what do these feeble Jews? You know, sometimes people take our stand that Christ teaches us to, you know, turn the other cheek or to forgive and to be kind to our enemies and those types of things. They take them as weakness. Did you know that meekness is not weakness? It's strength under control. You know what we need to be? We need to be under control. You know, there are groups of people out there that are calling for rebellion, and I've talked to you about this before. They're saying, well, I just wish somebody would take out these people that are turning our country in the wrong direction. I don't know that that's the way we should be praying. Why don't we pray for their salvation? For God to change their hearts? And for God to direct things according to his will. You understand that we have an opportunity to stand up to these things and to sustain through the power of God in our lives. Lean on him. What did Jesus say? Come ye that are heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, right? Because it's light. You know, God wants to work with us. And as we've been talking about on Sunday mornings lately, we just need to be those that are having done all to stand in the evil day. God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Sanballat says, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Now, first of all, what's wrong with fortifying the city? Can the city be fortified and still be subject to the king? Sure it can. Right? What harm is there in them sacrificing to their God and following those ordinances according to the law that God had set forth for his people for that time? What harm does that do to the kingdom that they were underneath in subjection to? None. Then he goes on to say, will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish? He said, will they accomplish this task? Will they actually even finish it? Can they take the stones that were once whole and suitable for the building of a wall? He said, will they be able to revive these things and glue them back together and make this all work? Mocking with great indignation, having others join in support of this mockery of God's people and God's task. Can I tell you something today, folks? The church is not much different than these people and Nehemiah and the world we live in today. You know, the majority of the world is not for us. They're not for what we're doing here. They're not for people getting saved. They're not for us raising kids according to what the Bible says to raise kids. They're not for that. I was speaking with my students in my Bible college class, and you know, they tell us that we're brainwashing our kids. We're indoctrinating them. And I kind of say, well, yeah, our brains are dirty. They need to be washed with the water of the Word. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Yeah. And listen, are they doing anything different? Well, they're brainwashing people. Yeah, only with dirty water. And so I don't know if it's really washing then. And then they're indoctrinating people. But you know what? We've got to do our part. They're going to make fun of. They're against us. They're not for what we're doing here. And guess what? That's okay. This group of people was a remnant. There were 42 groups here doing this work, and they were small in number compared to these people. Sanballat, all of his brethren, and the army of Samaria gathered around, mocking and making fun of the people of God. You understand that these things are going to take place in our lives, whether we like it or not. And that's okay. Notice what happens here. In verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, so he starts in on these people. And he says, hey, if a fox were to go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. In other words, what they're building is not even a good thing. It's just going to crumble if any little thing comes by. Hey, can I put the world on notice? There are churches like this church that have been around as long or longer than this church has, and they're still standing. And they're still blowing and going for the Lord as they ought to. Now, are there some that don't make it? Yes. And that's unfortunate. But it doesn't have to be that way. And we'll find out as we read through here, as we go through, they did do a good job. And at this stand, you can go over and visit it today. In the Holy Land. There's still parts of that wall that they rebuilt that are still in existence. And I guess the foxes didn't do a good job tearing down the walls. Now, the point is here is that others are going to join in. And they're going to try to discourage us from accomplishing this work. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible tells us, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. A similar vein of thought in Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, we need to encourage ourselves, build one another up, help one another, love one another, encourage one another, not helping those that are without tear each other down and make fun and mock and destroy and harm and hurt. There's enough of that that we have to deal with from without. How dare it happen from within? Those things should not be the case. So we have this happenings, and Sanballat joins in, or starts this thing off, and with great indignation, he joins in with his brethren in the armies of Samaria, and then Tobiah the Ammonite begins also to mock and adds his 2 cents in. And then we have verses 4-6. Look at what it says. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we have this little prayer inserted here, and it appears as though Nehemiah is pleading to God, much like David pleaded to God, for relief from the oppression of his enemies. You understand, folks, that it's not necessarily wrong to pray and ask God to judge those that are in opposition to his work. Are they wrong in what they're doing? Sure they are. Okay? Now, should God deliver these people? Possibly. Should God be forgiving to these who are mocking and making fun and reproaching even further the task at hand by saying, oh, it won't last. A little fox will tear it down. It'll crumble. You understand that when it comes to our relationship with our enemies, it's kind of complex, isn't it? Are they in the wrong? Yes. But guess what? The Bible tells us that we were once sinners, and we were once in the wrong, and God had mercy on us. All I'm trying to say is, this is what the Bible says that was prayed about these enemies. And we need to make sure that we are first doing what we can to see if those that are without mocking would possibly and by any chance come to Christ and be a good testimony and be a good witness. But the Bible does tell us that although God is long-suffering, He's not forever suffering. But guess who that's up to? That's up to Him and not us. Do you notice the words here? He says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. And they pray and turned their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Many times in the book of Psalms, David talks about how these people are often caught in their own devices. As they lay snares for others, they fall into those snares themselves. How many of you can think back to time, maybe before you were saved, or maybe a time in life where perhaps you went perhaps farther away from God than you intended to? And you notice that, maybe we'll just take, for instance, in the case of a lie. How quickly can we get consumed and ensnared in our own lives? In our own devices? That often does happen. There's this mention here of this little prayer. And we need to make sure that we do our part by praying and asking God to care for us. In the model prayer, does it not say, deliver us from evil? Lead us not into temptation? And all of those things, we need to make sure we are asking God to help us in our time of need. Trusting in Him to care for the enemies. Did you notice here that the people, and Nehemiah especially, didn't go out against these that were against them? They trusted God to fight their battles for them. To deliver them in their time of distress. And that's what we need to do in our time of distress. You understand that the early church experienced many things, many oppositions. And what did they do most of the time? Let's pray. God, they're opposing us. God, they're threatening us. God, there's opposition. We need your help. We need your deliverance. We need your strength. God, if you'll take care of them, we can continue to do the work that you've called us to do. Did you notice at the end of this statement, they said, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. And it's just being voiced that, hey, this mockery and this indignation and this making fun, this is starting to affect the people's spirit. But Lord, we know mostly and foremostly it's against you that they're mocking. And we don't want that to be the case. God can fight his battles sufficiently. Anybody disagree with that? The Bible tells us that we're not supposed to take revenge. God is the one. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Just put it in God's hands. And that's what these folks were doing. They were putting it in God's hands. And then I love verse 6. He says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know, that just speaks to me in such a mighty way. One of the things that I tell people very often is you can't help what others do to you. But you can help what you do to others. It's just very simple. Were they up against a very great task? Yes, they were. Did they have and seemingly to have God's favor upon them? Yes, they did. But was there opposition? Yes, there was. Could they help what Sanballat was doing? Could they help what the army was doing? Could they help what Tobiah was doing? No, they couldn't. But they could call upon God and they could continue in the work. Folks, we can't help what this world does. We can't help what they call us. We can't help what they say. But we can help what we do. We can help how we live our lives. We can help how diligent we are and what kind of a testimony we have. And we can pray and we can continue in the work. That's something that every church should have a mind to do. And every Christian should have a mind to do. Because the people had a mind to work. That's what Lighthouse Baptist Church needs to continue to do. And I am so thankful for the testimony. And I am so thankful that when God called Pastor Raspberry to go off and do another task for him, that there was still a church here for me to be able to come and continue the work here. It's a joy I really mean that. I'm not just saying that because y'all are here. It is a blessing to be able to continue the work. It's because people have sacrificed, they've endured hardships, and they've prayed, they've asked God to deliver them, and they've continued the work. And they just keep building the wall. And the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work.